Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about how to live in God's love. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
All right. Good morning. A lot of exciting things happening around campus, and there's a buzz in the air. Kids are getting ready to get back to school. There's been a lot of work that has gone into helping around the campus. And I tell you, I just want to take a moment to recognize some amazing people. I don't even know if they're here at this moment or they might be out and about, but Tom and Tara. Tom has been doing such an amazing job this week, and I just want to take a moment to recognize him. And Tara, who is our admissions director for the school, she's been doing an amazing job. God has been blessing. She called the other day. She said, "I've got four people. There's so many people coming. I've got to book four tours all at once. I've got to do four families at once." And we said, "Well, let's get you some help over there. Let's make sure that that we can help you with that." And of course, Tom has been doing an amazing job with the crews, helping to try to get the campus ready. And I guarantee you that they would so much appreciate a handshake, a thank you, and they would put you to work if you happen to show up. There's a lot to do. There is a lot to do, but we are so grateful for everything. So Pastor Hiram, man, he's been a rock, and he's been doing some amazing things. Can we give applause to him? And I'm telling you, I see a true servant of Christ when I look at him. He is not afraid to get his hands dirty and roll up his sleeves and just jump in when it's needed. He was here all day yesterday. I don't know what time he went home last night. He's been here all week working so late in the hours of the morning and just trying to make sure that everything is ready. And so I just am so grateful for the servants' hearts and the people who are willing to step up and just help. And we don't say it enough. Thank you to each and every one of you who serve in so many different ways, whether that's just taking the initiative to make a phone call and talk to people throughout the week, or if that is taking the time to drop a meal by somebody's house, or just dropping a thank you note in the mail. For those who serve here throughout the week in our food pantry and different ones, Jose and his family and friends are always so supportive in that. They come up here and they pray for people as they're coming to pick up their groceries, and we're so grateful for him and his family and all the things that they do. So I just want us to give a round of applause to all of those who serve so faithfully. Such an amazing blessing. Well, speaking of those who serve amazingly, we've got Pastor Chrissy Ballou here with the kiddos, and we are ready to pray over them and bless them and dismiss them to their class. So would you, children, would you just stand right where you are? Parents, would you put your hands on them? Let's bless them. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of these children. We thank you for the things that you are doing in their lives, how you are growing them and you are strengthening them and you are helping them, Lord, to be greater and better, Lord, at the things that they are doing and growing in their abilities and in learning. I pray, oh God, that you would bless them and that you would continue to prosper them. In Jesus' name we declare this. Amen. You may go to your classes. All right. Very good. So as you saw that there are multiple things that are happening, we're excited. We're entering into that fall season. The first thing that's kicking off, as you saw in the announcements, is the back to school prayer Sunday, this coming Sunday. We want to cover our students, our parents, our teachers in prayer. And so not just here at the Trinity Christian Academy, but all of the students. And so we encourage you to invite those back in onto campus so we can bless them and pray for them as they are getting ready for school. And we have back to school youth rally Friday, this coming Friday. So if you know a student that wants to get invited to that, would like to participate in that, it's going to be here on campus this coming Friday from 6:30, I believe it is, to, I don't know what time they end, until whatever time they end. So We'll be sending out a reminder on that, but just be ready for that. Again, we've got the Women of Hope brunch that's happening. I'm looking forward to this. This means we're getting into the fall season, y'all. I don't know. I'm excited about this, and I'm hopeful for. I was wearing a shirt yesterday that had some snowflakes on it. I was hoping that for some cold weather. It was wishful thinking, I know, but at any rate, we're just so grateful for all of this and excited for the things that are happening. We've got men's retreat coming up. We've got all kinds of things happening. So be sure to stay in connected with us and be aware of what's coming up. We're looking forward to that. I've got a couple of other announcements I wanted to mention to you. We've got Jennifer Canales. Would you stand? For those of you who don't know, she's a missionary to Honduras, her and her husband. And she's Karen Celine's daughter. Can you wave, Karen? Yeah, and so Karen and Glenn, they're really proud of all the things that she's doing there in Honduras with the families. She has a book that she's written. It's called Hidden Treasures. It's in our gift shop. And I would encourage you to pick it up. Everything that she's written in here is life stories of the things that God has done in her life and through her life and some of the processes that she's gone through. Just words of encouragement, things that God has revealed to her through life. And so I would encourage you to pick that up. And she's here so she can autograph it for you today after church. And we'd love for you to support. All of those proceeds obviously go to support the mission ministry that they're doing there in Honduras. And if you would like to support them on a monthly basis, just be sure to give that. And we are already sending, but we will add to that the baseline that we're already giving, whatever you give gets added on top of that, and we get to continue to bless this amazing ministry that they are serving these young families. Families too, but a lot of these are children that don't really have a home, don't really have anything. They've taken them in, fostering them and caring for them. And it's a school. They're teaching them about Jesus, and they're teaching them scholastics. And so it's near and dear to our heart. This is right in line with the vision that we have, and we are so grateful that we can participate in this way. So be sure to chat with her. You'll be over at the gift shop after service, and you can chat with her. She'll actually be here later, the beginning of next September, to share a little bit more about her heart and her vision and the things that God is doing. We are so excited for that. So thank you for being here. Can we give her a round of applause for all the work that she does for the Lord? And I know that a lot of you support the Vaughns as well, Andrew and his bride and their children, as they've been in ministry for this time. And I want you to know that they are taking a little bit of a sabbatical. They wanted you to know that they're taking a little bit of a sabbatical for the next few months. But they are looking for to rest, recuperate, regenerate their themselves, and to continue to look for God's direction in their lives. So I would encourage us to continue to support them through this season. And we are going to continue to be faithful in that. And I know that they're going to be here sometime throughout this. He hasn't given me specific dates yet, but we look forward to having him here to speak to us as well about all the things that God is doing in their lives. And I know many of you already support their ministry, and y'all will be looking forward to hearing the update as he already send out their newsletter, but looking forward to the end update that they have here with us and for them to be here in service with us soon. Another big announcement is Shane Cook, the amazing minister from Australia, that has spent his life in devotion to children's ministry, is going to be here, I believe it's October, the first week or so of October. So more announcements will be coming out about that, but he's finally able to leave Australia. He's finally starting to travel around again, and we're excited to have him here. For those of you who don't know who he is, believe it or not, I was on a on a scooter, you know, one of those things that you have to put your knee up on, you know, and because I had broken my ankle. And they said I was going to have surgery. It wasn't healing and all of those things. And he happened to be here It was a Wednesday night of all. God does things on Wednesday nights, y'all. Just letting you know. It was a Wednesday night, and he was here, and he got the kids together. And he had the kids pray over me, and God healed my ankle. I did not have to have surgery. He healed it. And so God is doing some amazing things through his ministry. He travels all over and ministers, and we're just grateful that we get to have him coming up in October. There's a lot more that's happening, and I could take the rest of the service to tell you all the things that are happening, but God has something special for you today. How many of you believe that? Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we begin today's message? It's found, the passage is in the book of Mark as we were talking about living in love. This is the third part, and this is the final sermon of this series of Believe, Trust, and Live. And so this is the passage in Mark chapter 12, and it says this, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, gather together and to receive from your hand. Holy Spirit, today I pray that you would do the work that only you can do. Lord, as you send forth the word of Christ to speak into our hearts, may it be so that you would reveal to us the truth of God's word and let it become life within us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be reseated. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. This is a series that we've been doing, and I would encourage you, if you haven't been able to follow that, to go back and take a listen. I believe that God's spoken some amazing things to us over this time. But as we've been looking at this concept of ecclesia, being the church, we began this series, Believe, Trust, and Live. We understand that living as ecclesia, being the church, requires relationship. But what does that look like? What does relationship look like? So we began to take a deep dive into three components that are vital to relationship with God. And those three components, you know, believe, trust, live, are synonymous with faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. We talked about how that faith is believing and how it's important to have relationship with God, and that without faith, it is impossible to have relationship with God. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. We must believe Jesus. We must believe Jesus. We talked about trusting and how it is synonymous with hoping. Placing my trust in Jesus is choosing to hope in him. If I am to have relationship with Jesus, if I am to be his church, I must learn to trust him with all that I am. We talked about living in love. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this, living in love. We have been looking at the scripture on love, loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. We've taken a close look at what it means to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. But today I want us to bring this series to close as we begin to look deep into what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your strength. You see, loving God with all of my heart is making Jesus the Lord of my life. It is for him to for us to make our heart heaven's home. It's placing the Good Shepherd on the throne of our life. How do I do this? Blind faith, the faith of a child. Jesus said, if you don't become as with the faith of a child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I must believe at my core. I must believe at my core that God is good, that God is God, and that God is Father. I must believe that with all that I am. This must be settled within me. Nothing can change this belief because it is the kind of faith that comes from the heart. Loving God with all of my soul is making Jesus the object of my affection. It is pursuing him with all of my passion. Loving God with all of my soul is being in love with Jesus. It is making Jesus the lover of my soul. How do I do this? By pursuing Jesus with all that I am. Living in love with Jesus is living with intentionality. You know, intentionality is one of our core values. It's living with intentionality. It's letting your thoughts, your motivations, your passions be consumed with living in love with Jesus. It is living your faith in holy adoration and sacred devotion. Loving God with all of your mind is making Jesus the author of my understanding. The author of my understanding. It's coming to really know Christ, even as we are known by him. Loving God with all of my mind is not simply knowing about God. It is coming to understand and know who he really is. How does this happen? By spending time with Jesus. Present your body a living sacrifice. This is true worship. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will come to know God's good and pleasing and perfect will. As I spend time in prayer and worship and communion with God, his Holy Spirit transforms me by making me more like Jesus. It is only as I spend time with God that I come to see things as he sees them. I come to understand him and know him because he becomes the author of my understanding. This is what it means to love God with all of my mind, my understanding. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God." Mark 12:29 again, let's look at this. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." So what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all of your strength? Loving God with all of my strength is the process of surrendering my abilities and my resources to the will of the Father. It is the difference between doing things my way and doing things his way. Last week we talked about people like Moses and David who had such an intimate understanding of who God is that they were able to do things that were beyond their own ability. David killed Goliath with just a slingshot and a stone. He and one other man fought and killed 2,000 Philistines. David defeated all of the enemies of Israel. He united the kingdom of Israel. He established the house of God. He removed the veil between the altar and the mercy seat, the ark of God's presence, so that he could worship as he gazed upon the beauty of the majesty and glory of the holiness of God. David introduced God as the good shepherd because he knew God, because he had come to understand who God is. He was able to do the impossible because David's will was surrendered to God's will. God's strength became David's strength. Psalm 18:1-2, David writes, "I will love you, O Lord." What? "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. David loved God with all of his strength when his ability was surrendered to God's will. Think of Moses. Because Moses had come to know God, to truly understand him, he was able to live in the supernatural. Moses performed many signs and wonders. He was able to defeat the greatest nation in his history. He talked with God face to face. He parted the Red Sea. He brought water from a rock and called down bread from heaven. He saved the children of Israel from God's wrath, secured God's presence to be with him as they lived in the desert. He took a nation of slaves and turned them into the children of Israel, ready to possess the land of promise. How did he accomplish all of this? The impossible became possible when God became the source of his strength. Loving God with all of your strength is making God the source of your strength. Think about it. When Moses was young, he'd grown up in the palace, he had learned the greatest knowledge that was available on earth. He had all of these amazing leadership skills. And he knew that he was called to lead God's people out of the land of bondage. So one day, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he goes over there and he kills this Egyptian, buries him in the sand. A couple of days later, he's walking by and he sees two Hebrew brothers fighting. And he says, "Brothers, why are we fighting?" And they said, "Don't stop putting your nose where it doesn't belong. Are you going to kill us like you did that Egyptian?" And all of a sudden he got scared and he realized, "I can't lead people. They don't even want to be, they won't even listen to me about stopping fighting. How can I lead them out of Egypt? How can I unite them?" All of his efforts that he had attempted all of a sudden fell apart. He finds himself on the backside of a desert, taking care of sheep. And then God shows up. God draws him to a burning bush. And there was this wrestling with God to the point that he finally surrendered to God's will. He finally surrendered to God's will. At one point he said, "God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Can you just, I don't think you're understanding, God. I don't want to do this. Find somebody else." And God said, "No, you're it. You are the one I have chosen, and you will do this." And so then he surrendered to God's will. And because he surrendered to God's will, he surrendered his ability to God's will, God's strength became his strength, and he was able to accomplish great and mighty things. It wasn't until Moses surrendered his abilities to the will of the Father that he was able to love God with all of his strength. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by what? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." I want you to, you can jot these next things down or you can just meditate on them. The fulfillment of my purpose is the direct result of my strength yielded to God's will. You can take your phone out and take a picture of it if that's easier. The fulfillment of my purpose is the direct result of my strength yielded to God's will. The next one says this: the realization of God's promises in my life are never the result of my abilities. The realization of God's promises in my life are never the result of my abilities. The next one. My attempts to help God only prolong the process. My attempts to help God only prolong the process. I like this one. When God's way becomes my way, I discover a way where there was no way. How many of you know that God makes a way where there is no way? He makes rivers in the desert. He makes roadways in the wilderness. He can part the sea and lead you through on dry ground. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death and prepares a banquet for you. Excuse me. Prepares. Give me a second. Sorry about that. Are we there? Okay. I'm going to start that over. God makes a way where there is no way. He makes rivers in the desert. He makes roadways in the wilderness. He can part the Red Sea and lead you through on dry ground. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death and prepares a banquet for you in the presence of your enemies. He can cause the valleys to rise up and the mountains to be made low. He is the God of the impossible. With Yahweh, there is always a way. It is just not my way. Amen? Matthew 19:26 says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Somebody give the Lord praise for that. All things are possible with God. Abraham received a promise from God. He and his wife believed and waited for years. They tried over and over again in their strength to fulfill God's promise, only to be disappointed every time. Finally, in an act of desperation, Ishmael was created. Little did they know how devastating that decision would be for them. Their crisis of faith prolonged the process, but it did not alter God's plan. Listen to me. Your failures are never final. God is not through with you. You may not see it right now, but God is still working. His plan is greater than your problems. If you would choose to believe and trust and live in the love of God, the impossible will become possible for you. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible to the one who believes. God waited until it was physically impossible for Abraham and Sarah to fulfill God's promise. When they finally were fully surrendered to God's will, they received the child of promise. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. As a child, I grew up knowing that I was called into ministry From a very young age, I had encounters with the Lord. I had visions. I had dreams. I saw myself. I remember seeing myself in one of these dreams, and that was reoccurring. I would see myself standing in front of a large group of people preaching. And I would see myself leading thousands of people in worship. And so there was this seed that God had planted in my heart from a very young age. And I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years old. I knew that there was something that God had called me to do. At the age of 15, I became my youth group leader. At the age of 16, I was leading worship for my church and in the inner city of San Antonio. I was doing outreach. By the time I was 19, I was traveling all around and ministering in churches, in the inner city projects, serving as an intern, mentoring drug addicts through recovery. When I turned 21, I became the worship pastor of a church here locally. I was the youth pastor. I became the associate pastor. At the age of 23, I was a missionary. I moved to Mexico as a missionary with my wife, and we served there for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, everything came to a halt. Jenna became pregnant, and she had complications, and we had to leave the mission field. And we got back, and I kind of felt like Jacob, where we had to move back to, not my son Jacob, but it's Jacob in the Bible, where we had to move back, and we were literally living in my father-in-law's house, and I was working for my father-in-law, trying to make ends meet, because everything had dried up. The next couple of years, I would do ministry in churches and as I could, but I was working to provide. All of a sudden, there was this shift. I was no longer in full-time ministry. I had a baby on the way. I had my wife to care for, and I had the need to provide. Imagine after spending the last 10 years of my life in full-time ministry, I was forced to abandon God's promise in order to provide for my family. I still served in the local churches and ministered where I could, but I wasn't able to give myself fully to ministry. Now, I'm going to say something that nobody knows. Maybe you don't, Sandra. In 2007, I applied to what was Trinity Church to be the worship pastor, and I was turned down. And I was very discouraged about it, but the Lord told me that this is where I was supposed to be. So for the next 7 years, I spent serving. And they had a Spanish ministry here at that time, and I served for 7 years in the Spanish ministry. And after 7 years, I stepped away from ministry for a while. I'd gotten bitter, you see, I was trying to do things my way. I was trying to make things happen my way. And things weren't working. And I stepped away. For 3 years, I wrestled with God. I was still going to church. I was still serving in different ways. But inside, I was wrestling with God. I was bitter. I was angry. And I was broken. And I remember you stopped by Sanford one time and you caught me at a gas station. And I was pumping gas. And you asked me how I was doing. And I think I shot a smile across and said I was fine. But you knew better. He always knows better for some reason. And he prayed for me. I distinctly remember one morning, beginning of 2017, laying on the floor after having poured out my heart to God. I remember uttering these words, God, I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting. If all that you desire from me is that I dig ditches for the rest of my life. You see, I had an excavation company. Then I'll do it to the best of my ability. And I will do it to honor you. Listen to me. I had to let go and surrender to God's will without knowing where that would lead. I had to commit my way to Him and love Him with all of my strength. When God became the source of my strength, His will was manifested in my life. That same year, 2017, was when I received a phone call asking if I would come and be the worship pastor for what was Trinity Church, now 24/7 Church. That same year. And 2 years later, 2019, I became the senior pastor of this church. That was what God did. That was what God did. Amen. The past 3 years have not been the best years to start in, as a senior pastor of a church, if you know what I mean. They've been like the hardest years that churches have faced in modern history. It was hilarious. I remember calling up Pastor Randolph, who was the former pastor of the church, shortly after we hit COVID. And I said, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure exactly what to do. He said, Brother, I'm praying for you. I'm so glad I'm not you. God bless you. I said, wow, thanks. He said, I got out just in time, brother. I got out just in time. Hallelujah. We would have never made it if I was relying on my own strength. Every day as I wake up, my prayer is, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Today we're seeing an outpouring of God's presence. We are seeing His favor and blessing. We are seeing souls saved and lives changed. We're seeing people set free from addiction. We're seeing the miracles of healing happening. God's church is growing as people are set free from addiction. We are seeing God do a miraculous work as people are returning to Him. Every week we are experiencing God's presence here with us. Amen? His blessing is upon us. His presence is with us. The impossible is possible because we have surrendered our will to His will. That is what it means to love God with all of our strength. Hallelujah. Give the Lord glory for that. Someone once told me that the real character of a man is discovered not in the years of poverty, but in the years of plenty. When you have nothing, it's easy to appear to be a saint. Right, Jose? Yeah. It's only when you have resources and abilities that your true character becomes evident. When you're poor, your abilities are limited. When you're rich, you must limit your abilities. How many times have you heard somebody say, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to charity? I remember the first time I made $10. Sure felt good to pay my tithe. Then I made 100. Took a little thought, but still wasn't too painful to pay that. Then I made 1,000. Then 5,000. And 10,000. And so on. It's amazing how quickly your mind starts thinking about all of the good things that you could do with that money. Maybe it's just me, okay? Maybe it's just me. Family vacations. I want to bless my family. Hallelujah. College tuition. I'm investing in my children. Thank you, Jesus. Home improvements. I could reach more people with Jesus if I had a pool. We even look at benevolence as an opportunity to tithe less. Well, I gave $5 to the guy on the street corner. Bought groceries for the Williams. Not you guys. It's just a name in there. I sent $50 to missions. I'll just deduct that from my tithe. I bought a new couch, but I donated my old one, so I can deduct that cost of the new one as tithe, right? Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to get off of this in just a second. Hold on. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Say it with me. All the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Being surrendered to God's will is doing things God's way. Loving God with all of my strength is surrendering my abilities to His will. My strength is my time, my resources, my treasure, my abilities. I must surrender all that I am to Him and allow His will to become my strength. It is only in surrender that His plan becomes my plan. Then and only then am I able to fulfill my purpose as His power becomes my strength. Hebrews 5, verses 5 through 9 says this. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest. But it was He who said to Him, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. As He also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Jesus was God in the flesh. Yet He had to surrender His fleshly will to the will of the Father. He had to yield His strength to His Father in order to be empowered by God to do the impossible. Look at this again. Though He was a son, Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I want you to think about this. If Jesus had not surrendered his will to the will of the Father, there would be no salvation. What was Jesus' prayer in the garden? No, but back up before that. He says, Father, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Let's look at this next part of the scripture. It says, who in the days of his flesh, referring to Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus, when he prayed, was heard by his heavenly Father. God the Father provided a way of escape. God the Father provided a way of escape. Jesus had the power to do things differently. But he chose to surrender his strength to God's will. Confused? Matthew chapter 26, 52 through 54. Jesus speaking tells Peter, put away your sword. Jesus told him, those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scripture be fulfilled that describes what must happen now? Jesus had the power to end it right then and there. But he surrendered his abilities to the will of the Father. Because Jesus surrendered his strength, he was empowered by the Father to become the author of salvation. Jesus fulfilled his purpose as God's power became his strength. What does loving God with all of your strength look like? Look to Jesus. Look at the cross. Loving God with all of your strength is fulfilling God's good, pleasing, and perfect will by making him the source of your strength. Loving God with all of your heart is allowing Jesus to be the king of your heart. Loving God with all of your soul is allowing Jesus to be the lover of your soul. Loving God with all of your mind is allowing Jesus to be the author of your understanding. Loving God with all of your strength is allowing Jesus to be the source of your strength. Believe, trust, live. This is relationship. Living in love is living in relationship with Jesus. Here's what you need to hear as we're closing. God has already extended his love to you. God has already extended his love to you. before you ever thought of loving him, he already loves you. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is all about relationship. And even when you feel unlovable and unwanted, even when you feel that you don't deserve his love, it doesn't change a thing. Jesus already gave his all, and he won't take it back. He fully committed himself to you before you ever knew his name. God already did everything before you ever said yes. Somebody needs to hear this. Listen. God believes in you. God believes in you. Now, here's something harder. God trusts you. God trusts you. Now, here's a third thing. God lives for you. God lives for you. Say what? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. God lives for you. I want you to take that into your heart right now. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed. He is so in love with you. His love will never stop pursuing you. He's not angry. Listen to me. He's not angry because you haven't been home in a while. He's not mad because you haven't spent time with him in a while. He's not waiting to scold you because you haven't talked to him lately, read the Bible lately, or been in church in a while. God is not upset with you. He's just glad when you show up. He misses you when you don't spend time with him. He can't wait for you to let him heal you and free you and fill you with joy and peace and love. He is faithful. Even on your worst day, he still loves you. As Jesus hung on that cross, giving his life for our salvation, he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Jesus loves you even at your worst. Loving God with all of your strength is a journey of yielding to God's love. Every day, I want to love him more. Will you choose today to open up your heart to Jesus? Will you allow yourself to yield to the love of Christ? I want to know Christ, even as I am known. I want to know how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ for me. Will you surrender to his love today? Will you choose to live in love? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we surrender to you today. We surrender to your will. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. We choose to live in love. If there is anyone in this room or within the sound of my voice that would have said, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life and I want to receive Christ today, the Bible says this: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I would encourage you today, if you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, it begins with a word of confession and to believe in your heart. If you'd like to do that, nobody's looking around, would you just slip your hand up and we're going to pray together? Is there anyone in this room that would say, I'd like to give Jesus my heart. I would like to make Jesus the Lord of my life. For anyone who may be watching online, I would encourage you, if you're making that decision right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Just say, Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. I believe you died to save me. I thank you that you forgive me of my sins. I give you control of my life. From this day forward, I accept you as Father, and I thank you that you accept me as your child. From today and for the rest of my life, I choose to live in love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you are blessed by this message, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.